Man, there's nothing like His presence. I don't know about y'all, but I don't want to live outside of the presence of God. Man, I want peace. I don't want torment. Amen. Well, praise God. Well, let me share a word with you tonight. So get your Bibles out. Go to John chapter 6. And Scott, I think this message is for you tonight. This is one you can take fishing with you. I don't care. I'm preaching to thousands. I'm preaching to millions. Right now, millions are just out there listening. They're all there, the crowd, the hiss, this auditorium. Okay, you know, I've taught y'all this and taught y'all this and taught y'all this over the years, and I pray that you've gotten it. But, you know, the thing that changes your life and gives you victory is to have a true revelation of the Word of God or a revelation from Jesus to you. You got to live off revelation. You can't live off what Mama said or what Daddy said or whatever. You've got to live off the revelation of the Word that's yours, that you know it to be true, that the revelation that can't be taken from you. If you're questioning if it's a revelation, it's simply that. Is it something you can be talked out of? If it's something you'd be talked out of, well, then that's just a word you've heard and you've got in your head, and it's not, you know, it's just kind of laying there in the folders of your long-term memory, right? Like, for instance, if you read John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life, and that revelation jumped off and you asked Jesus to come into your heart, and you believed He was the Son of God, well, then that can't be taken from you. But if you believe, well, I don't know, you know, maybe everybody is saved and we're all just making our own path, and maybe this is really, you know, so then that's not a revelation to you because it can be taken from you. You can say, oh, well, I believe in God, but, you know, maybe, well, see, it's not a revelation to you. It's just some thought up theory in your mind. It's not a revelation. It's in your heart. And that's what that's what you have to live on. That's the manna from heaven that you have to live on, is what is a revelation to you. And if you don't have a revelation, then you need to get a revelation. If it's not real to you, let me give you an example. The other day, I had a construction problem that I was up against, and I was doing something that I had never done before, And there was really no one that could help me. There was no one that could tell me what to do. I couldn't call somebody on the phone and say, hey, you know, have you ever done this before? And how do you do this? And it was just a question that I had, and I didn't know what to do. And so that morning I was praying and I was reading and said, Lord, I really need You to give me a revelation. I really need You to tell me something. I really need You to give me something here to help me, because You're the only one that could possibly know what to do. Now, it sounds funny to be asking Jesus, to some people who's not even real, how to do a construction problem. And so that morning, as I was reading through the Bible and just my daily reading, up pops Proverbs 8, chapter 30. I mean, chapter 8, verse 30. And as I read it was just talking about God's creating the worlds and this and that and the other. And He says, and My Father is a master craftsman. And when I saw that, it just leaped off the page to me. I was like, wait a minute. He's saying My Father's a master craftsman. That's right, God. You're the master craftsman. Look, you created the whole world and everything in it. And you crafted everything. And what a craftsman You are. And You're My Father. I don't know why I was thinking about this wrong. I come from a lineage of master craftsmen. That's what I started saying to myself. And so as I got to the job that day, I was just saying, Lord, I just thank You, man. I am the son of a master craftsman. God, You know what to do. And so I went around that day and I looked, and I didn't have any great wisdom, but I just kept confessing out of my mouth, Lord, I'm from a master craftsman. And the next morning I got up and it was like in my head, I knew exactly what to do. And I walked in there. And I did it, and it all worked out perfect, and everything came out right. And it's all because, to me, there was a revelation. Wait a minute, I come from a line of master craftsmen. You follow me? Okay. Well, In the word here in John chapter 6, let me read this to you, starting in verse 1. It says, after these things, Jesus went over to the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a great multitude followed him because they saw his signs in which he performed on those who were diseased. Now, I want y'all to know this, and I think you do. You know my heart. If I had the magic pixie dust and could dust it out on people and everybody got healed and everybody just their life got strayed and people that were going through problems just came to church and I threw some pixie dust on them and glory to God, then everything was just straight. Man, I would just be here day in and day out. There'd have to be, y'all had to come up here and hold my hand, you know, so I could distribute the pixie dust as they went by, you know, because I would just have a heart to help people. I mean, I do have a heart to help people, but it's not like that, okay? And these people were seeking Jesus simply because a sign was happening, simply because they saw a miracle, simply because they saw people being miraculously healed. They came seeking Jesus. They really weren't seeking Jesus for the revelation that he's the Son of God and could forgive their sins. They just, man, they were mesmerized by what was going on with the miracles, and they were just sign seekers. And that's like that. There's like that in the world today. People are just sign seekers. They're just going from one hot place to the next hot place, trying to find something that's going on because you know, they don't really want to sit down and spend time and have a revelation of heaven, of Jesus. So it says, now, the Passover, the feast of the Jews was near. In verse 5, it says, Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? Now, as I read that, I thought, you know, was he seriously asking a question? Was Jesus' first intention to buy bread for all the people? Or was he saying it to get the disciples questioning what was going on so he could set up the miracle? And was he saying, where are we going to buy bread to feed all these people? And he was saying it almost sarcastically. I don't know. But I looked at it this way. If he was saying, where is he going to buy bread to feed all the people, and that was his intention, then, you know, I don't know. Was there a bread store somewhere close? I mean, what could have possibly been done? I mean, you know, there's a multitude of people coming, and the first thing the Lord is saying to him is, we got to get them fed. All right? So he says, then verse 6 says, but he said this to test him, for he knew himself what he would do. So in other words, he did say it in a sarcastic way, because he was trying to get the disciples to thinking. Because listen to me, if you're not questioning and thinking and contemplating and mulling and chewing on the word, you're not going to get a revelation. If you think a revelation is just going to fall out of you out of the sky, you're just going to be driving down the road and it just falls on you for no reason, you're not thinking, you're not questioning, you're not asking Jesus, you're not talking to him, you're not praying, you're not seeking him, you're not looking in the word, you're not doing anything. Man, that's how you get a revelation. So he had to stir up the disciples and get them to thinking on a natural level, how are we going to feed this multitude? So the first one comes up and he says, Philip says, well, Lord, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient to feed him, that every one of them would have a little. So, you know, I don't know. Philip, maybe he was more of the accounting kind of guy. And he just, you know, roughly ran across and said, well, I see one loaf is going to cost us so many denarii. And we're going to get, you know, one denarii buys 10 loaves of bread. And then see if we go, you know, gosh, I count. You know, that's like 5,000 people. And if we, you know, one loaf per 10. And maybe he calculated it all up. To where he came up and said, well, Lord, if we had 100 denarii, it's not enough to buy bread for everybody. So his first thought, Philip's first thought was totally on a natural level. How can we totally pull this off on a natural level? Now, if you're going to get a revelation from heaven, I hate to tell you this, you can't go at it thinking on a natural level. Because God's not really interested in your list of pros and cons. Have y'all ever done the pros and cons? Like, okay, if I did this, then, you know, then this and this and this could happen. But then if I did this, then this and this could happen. And isn't that the way we reason most things? Right? That's the way we do it. We usually reason things just like that. We just go on, and that's all we're doing is just reasoning and reasoning. And I'm not saying we don't use our brains to some capacity, but I'm talking about getting a revelation from heaven, all right? So Philip's first look was totally on a natural plane. So then look at the next thing. And then one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish, but what are they among so many?" What do you think happened when he brought that up? Don't you think? I mean, he was his younger brother. And you know, here's this little kid with a lunch. It was a pretty big lunch, I guess, for a little kid, but 5 loaves of bread, depends on how big the loaf was, but, you know. And he says, "Well, here's a little kid too, you know." Don't you know everybody kind of like, what? I mean, what a stupid suggestion. I mean, that's what I would have said. I would have like, what are you talking about? Why would you even open your mouth and say something? Right? Okay. But something happened here because he was more right than Philip. You follow me? He actually was getting closer to getting the revelation so that the miracle could take place than Philip was. Philip was totally thinking on a natural plane. Andrew, I don't know. You know, I mean, they had seen Jesus multiply water into wine. So, you know, maybe Andrew thought, I don't know, you know. But he said, what's that amongst so many? So I think he was still kind of in between. And sometimes we get in between a revelation. In other words, the Lord's speaking to us and we're kind of getting something, but then our natural mind comes back in and we're thinking, well, how's that going to work? You know what I mean? Don't know if I can really see it. Like, let's just say, give me this one, okay? Let me just give me this as a preacher. You know, let's say Andrew's got a thought. What if he'd multiply the fish like he multiplied the wine? That's the part for you, Scott, multiplying fish. See here. So multiplying the fish like he multiplied the wine, and then he got scared and said, but what's that among so many? He got back in his natural mind. And I think a lot of times that's what we do. We God's trying to lead us down a path. He's trying to speak to us. He's trying to tell us something. He's trying to show us something. But we're, 1 minute we're in the spirit, and then the next minute we jump back to the flesh because we think, oh God, how could that work? I heard a testimony, you know, years ago, and it was R.W. Shambach, and if you ever knew R.W. Shambach, you know, I mean, I trusted him as a, you know, he may have been a little wild every now and then, but he was definitely a man of the gospel and a godly man. And he told this testimony about needing, was it him needing money? Anyway, maybe the testimony, if I'm maybe getting wrong here, was a person came to him with some money in a bag, in a brown paper bag, and she needed X number of dollars, and there was only a certain amount of money in the bag, and she asked him to bless it so that she could have enough money. That's what it was. And so he laid his hand on it and he prayed over it, and the lady went back, and she counted the money out of it, and it was like $100 more than she knew was in there. And so she put it back in the bag, and then she just stood in the meeting and prayed. And by the end of the meeting, the money she claims was multiplied, and there was more money in there. That was always a hard testimony for me to believe. Blind eye open, you know, leg grow, no problem, you know. Tumor fall off, never had a problem with that one. That one, for some reason, always got me because it made me feel like God would have counterfeited. Y'all with me? So I was like, God, you're not a counterfeiter, so how did you make more money? That one just forever just tore me up. I was like, man, I don't want to say I don't believe the testimony, and I don't want to believe, you know, what's going on, and I don't want to doubt you, Lord, but that's a hard one for me to swallow. I mean, go tell me that somebody's leg grew. I got no problem with that. I could just, yeah, I understand that totally. But to say money just multiplied in a sack is too much. So let me go on, and I'll tell you why I told you that testimony in just a second. Verse 10, Jesus said, well, make the people sit down. Now, there was much grass in the place, so the people sat down in number about 5,000. Now, Jesus took the loaves. When he gave thanks, he distributed them to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, inasmuch as they wanted. So when they were filled, he said to his disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. And they gathered up them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the barley loaves of which were left by those who had eaten. Now, in the story, we didn't know at the first of it, but there were some baskets sitting around there. Now, I don't know what kind of baskets. Lunch baskets? I mean, got to remember this was 2,000 years ago, so I don't know what they had. I doubt they had picnic baskets like we have today, you know. But there was somebody had a basket. Yeah. So, I don't know how Jesus did it. He had 5 loaves and 2 fish. But apparently somebody was sitting there with some baskets when he told them to distribute it. Somehow or another, he thanked the Lord for it. And then he put it in the baskets, and they just kept coming out of the baskets. I mean, come on, folks. That's pretty amazing. Are you with me? I mean, just think about it. If you were in the process of the miracle, would you have, I mean, I don't know what happened. I mean, I'm just trying to just envision this. Just think about it. Did they break off a loaf and hand it to a guy and he looks down? And there's another piece. Breaks off a loaf and hands it down, looks down, another piece. I mean, the person handing out the basket was getting some real blessing out of this because it's got to be freaking them out. When you hand somebody a fish and look back down, there's another fish. There's only one fish in your basket. If there was 12 baskets, I mean, I don't know if they started having to get, if it started getting bigger like popcorn, popping. Get into the basket, I'm running over here and it's just coming out. Are y'all with me? See, the water that poured in 2 Kings 5, when the lady poured the oil out, remember, and it kept running? Okay, you couldn't. I'm saying it wasn't a clear vessel. I'm saying it was a clay pot, so you couldn't see how much oil was in it. So it just kept pouring out. To me, I mean, it's cool. It just keeps pouring out and get another one and just keeps pouring out and get another one. But when you've got an open basket and you're looking at it, what's happening? And so I started praying about this. Because I'm like, Lord, I want to know. I want to understand. How did you multiply the fish? Did it just one fish out, another fish? Or was it just fish? I mean, he starts out with one fish saying, I feel kind of stupid. I'm going to go down there and pass out this one. Man, he's just got a basket full of fish. Full of fish. 5,000 people is a lot of people. You know? I mean, what do you think? You're crazy after a while if you're just walking with one fish in a basket and every time you reach down to get a fish out and you hand it to somebody and you look back down, there's another fish? When you just know there was just one fish! And the Lord just stopped me and said, you know, Robert, and this is the word for tonight. He said, I'm always into multiplication. Think about it. Look at everything in my kingdom is in multiplication. Trees just dropped all their leaves and dumped all their thousands of leaves on there. And then you know, just have you noticed how quick leaves were just back on the trees? I mean, we all can attest to that with oak leaves around here because you've been raking leaves, you've even got leaves everywhere, right? And the trees are just full. They just fall off, and in no time at all, there's leaves. And you go out there one day and you look, and there's this little bud. And then, you know, maybe you don't look for a couple of days, and then all of a sudden it's, I mean, if you notice it was, I mean, unless y'all just studied your trees and just watched them daily grow, I mean, they grow fast. I mean, it's like a miracle. Are you with me? One day there's no leaves. They're all on the ground. We're saying, oh, my God, look at all the leaves on the ground. And then, wow, there's leaves. Just happened. You don't even really notice it. And God said, I'm all about multiplication. And he said, Robert, people don't understand how I want to multiply things in their lives. Because my whole kingdom is set up on multiplying. I started, there was an earth without, was with void. There was nothing there. And I multiplied everything to make the earth you see today. Everything I do is about multiplication. The world populates itself. Animals have babies. Everything goes about. Everything is populating. And I want people to understand, I want to multiply things in their lives. And I kind of just stopped and I said, you know, Lord, you're stretching me, because now we're back to that story of that money in that sack. Because this, like I said, man, I got no problem with Jairus' daughter being dead and Jesus raised her from the dead. No problem. Multiplying fish? I mean, it just gets me. It's like, okay, well, you know, yeah, he just multiplied fish. How? How'd you get another fish in the basket? Are y'all with me tonight? I'm not going crazy. I'm just telling you. And the Lord said, yeah, it's a higher level of miracles. But it's there. I multiply things. I want to multiply everything in your life. I want to multiply joy. I want to multiply peace. I want to multiply blessings. I want to multiply finances. I want to multiply health. I want to multiply everything in life, because my whole kingdom is based on multiplication. He actually over-multiplied, because he ended up with 12 baskets full on the end. So that takes me to, you know, like Ephesians 3:20. He wants to do exceedingly abundantly beyond what we can think or ask. Just take that scripture. Forget about everything I just said. Take that scripture and realize that whatever you just prayed for, he wants to do bigger. So if you have a friend who's sick and you prayed, God, I'm asking you to heal my friend. He doesn't just want to heal him. He wants to bless him and his household and all of his family and everybody around him and all his brothers and sisters, cats and dogs and everything, all the way down. Everybody wants to get blessed. Because God's into multiplication. When you start looking at things like this, we realize how limited our faith is. How limited even our scope of who God is. I mean, I'm going to hammer the Lord on this one until I get a good word, because I want to know how was the fish coming out of that basket. Think about it. If it filled up with fish, then they got a heavy basket to carry around feeding everybody. But if it stayed one fish all the time, I remember years ago, a long time ago, this is, golly, 15, 16, 17 years ago, I was in Mexico with Sister Annie. We were way down the interior of Mexico, and we're having this meeting. And it was a typical meeting in a very, you know, small room, maxed out with people. Nobody could even move. You couldn't do anything. There was one little aisle. People, the chairs are just piled in this room. The whole room was like from pillar to the front here, and there was like 100 people. And they were just stuffed in there like sardines. And Sister Annie wanted to minister to me. Now, I was young in the Lord, you know, I mean, as far as seeing miracles and signs and wonders and things like that. And so she came up and she said, Robert, I want to show you something. I want you to see this. She said, look, this young girl, and she was probably, I say young girl, she's probably 20. And she says, look, she has a deformity and her leg is short. Look. And so the girl was sitting down in a chair and she pulled her legs out. And obviously this leg was short. And she said, no, just look, the power to heal is here tonight. And I just want you to see this. I'm going to see what's going to happen here. And she said, so get over here. And so you can look down the side. I want you to see this. I want you to watch this. And so I'm like, okay. You know, all right, this is a little different. Never seen anything like this in my life. And so she looks at me, she says, okay, are you ready? And I was like, okay, so I've got this girl's legs lined up. I'm looking at her feet, got them lined up there. Obviously, it's short, and I'm not wanting to blink. My eyes are burning because I won't blink. And she says, are you ready? And I said, okay. And she asked the girl, are you ready? And I'm okay. And so she's holding her legs like that, and she just says, hold them in her hands. And she just starts to pray, and I'm watching, and all of a sudden, it was so fast, my mind could not explain what I saw happen. And the girl jumped up, started screaming and hollering, both of her legs. She just goes freaking out because she could stand the same, and she just goes to run around the room. She's jumping up and down. Everybody's shouting out because everybody knew who this girl was. And I'm like, I mean, she came up with a noticeable, you know, limp. And then she's just running around everywhere, and everybody's just shouting, rejoicing. I'm still scratching my head like, what did I just see happen? It was so fast. It was so quick. It was, my mind just looked at it, and I was like, wow. I don't know how. It was like my brain could not process it, what I had just seen. Okay. That's that realm right there of the one you keep pulling the fish out of the basket. And what I'm saying to you tonight is to get a revelation, to walk with the things of God, it takes us to get out of our brain and get out of the thinking like Philip and saying, oh, okay, now there's X number of people and we got to calculate this up. And Lord, what do you think about this? You know, if you give me, it looks like we're going to have, you know, 42,000 loaves of bread, and if I go over there and I go over and ask a guy to really do me a good price on it, maybe we can get the price done to this, and do we think we can get this money to get this done? See, it's all in our head. Or maybe being like Andrew and getting a little embarrassed in the situation, said, well, you know, what's that amongst so many? He kind of had the revelation started, but then he backed up. And I just believe in this time we're in right now, this being the year of Jubilee and everything that God wants to restore to us, how would He restore things? He would multiply things to us. He would multiply things to us. How's it going to work? I don't know, because I can't even understand it myself. It's got to happen by the Spirit. It's got to happen by the Spirit. If God's going to multiply fish in our life, it's got to happen by the Spirit. It can't be a natural way. See, we think, oh, Lord, herd them all up in a big herd, and we'll catch them all in a net. Because, see, we can understand it. Okay, so the fisher, God's speaking fish tongue to them, and they're swimming all to this one little area, and then they get herded up in here, and then the net comes around them, and we get them, pull them up, got them all. Because, see, we can rationalize it. But God wants to do things in our life that we're totally dependent upon Him. And He may ask you something by just a standard question. Oh, how are we going to feed all these people? When the whole time all He's trying to do is get you to into the thinking, the right thinking, so you can basically quit thinking so He can do the miracle. It's a higher level of faith, a higher level of walking in it. And I tell you, I just believe with all of my heart that's where God wants us. That's where God wants us. And, you know, the exciting thing is, you know, to come tell me the story. I want to know how it happened. Well, I don't know, Pastor. I just pull out a fish and another fish and the next one, there's one. For every time I look to handle that fish, when I look back down, there's just another fish there. Or no, Lord, Robert, it was like popcorn. Just had an extreme basket of fish. Couldn't hardly carry it. You know, I don't know, Scott, did they even do this anymore? But when I was over in like the Ukraine, it was the first time I saw what the Bible talks about with the fish. They would take the fish, they were catching these big old perch, and then they would take them, and they gutted them, and then they salted them, and then they hung them up on lines and dried them. And you'd go into the markets, and there would just be fish hanging up, you know, and you go, I guess it's like making jerky, isn't it? They don't do that around here, do they? About to kill you, wouldn't it? Yeah. But they'd have it. You go there and everybody was like, oh, let's buy fish. I'm like, yeah, I don't think so. It came out of that river over there and God knows what toxins are in that thing and I ain't going to eat the fish. Plus, it's been hanging over here, flies all on it and everything. I didn't have salt to kill that. So I wouldn't touch it, but that's the way they, and that must have been what they had there. You know, a kid couldn't have had just raw fish and everybody couldn't have been eating raw fish unless, I don't know, maybe it was the first time I had sushi. No. So even think about that. Even think about that. Oh, wow. You know, he multiplied cooked fish. Sun-dried and salted. And see, if that happened today, in a group of 5,000, there'd be a quarter of them say, well, listen, I'm sorry, Lord, we would love to eat that fish, but I think it's got too much salt on it. It's going to get my sodium level up, and I don't know if that's really... Is the bread gluten-free, Lord? Is the bread, I'm sorry, is it gluten-free? Another part of the miracle. He'd just say, yours is. Amen. Food for thought, man. Food for thought. I just want to be in that higher place of miracles. Amen. Well, praise God. That'll give you something to chew on. Good piece of fish. Oh, back to the money in the sack. The lady at the end of the service had the money, the amount of money she needed to pay off her bills, and it multiplied. That's what the testimony was. And I was like, okay, well. But she, and it was like a big multiplication. It was like $500 multiplication to get the amount of money she needed to pay off her bills to get it done. That was the testimony. She kept shaking the sack. And I've tried it before. Nope. The only thing I've got hope that maybe is multiplying is, you know, when you take your change out of your pocket and I keep in all the change, I keep throwing it over there and saying, oh, Lord, okay, just keep, I mean, I'll take it a quarter at a time, you know, just keep multiplying quarters over there. Maybe they breed over there in the jug and, you know, get more. But I can't verify that because I didn't count them going in, so I can't count them coming out.